York State is the fourth most populous state in the country. It is divided into 11 different regions. Pair that with the state's diverse geography, the Catskills, the Adirondacks, Lowlands, 11 Finger Lakes, and borders of two Great Lakes, and one can understand the variety of brewing styles across New York. As breweries from across the state are meeting this week at the state capitol, we meet several brewers from across our region to discuss all the happenings in the industry. We welcome Chris Erickson of Lake Placid Pub and Brewery and Big Slide Brewery and president of the New York State Brewers Association. Did I get all that right?
Yes, you did.
Excellent. Author and good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Niceties.
Yes. Author and Culinary Institute of America professor and from the Brooklyn Brewery at the CIA, John Fisher, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Very nice to have you with us. And our good friend Kevin Mullen of Rare Form Brewing in Troy, New York, here as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
All right. So let us begin with you, Chris, as to when it comes to being the president of the New York State Brewers Association and New York State. What do you need from the state? How can we help?
Small W.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a couple of ways that people can help. There's a couple of ways that the government can help. One of the things that I really try to work on is making people take a lot of pride in New York beer, that there's a lot of great New York breweries making some fantastic beers. And one of the things that I want to do is have people, when they walk into a bar or a restaurant or a convenience store, I want them to be looking for a New York beer first. There's over 400 breweries making some great beer. So I want people to have a little bit of pride in some of the great things that we're doing.
Now, I've heard this said in the past, and I believe this is still the case, but that if you look, beer writers from around the world say that some of the best beer that is being produced in the entire world is being produced here in the United States, but specifically in New York and New England. Is that still the case?
I certainly think that New York and New England are at the forefront of brewing some of the best beers, the most on style beers. And yeah, I still think that there are so many breweries now in the United States that if you're not challenging and pushing the boundaries, then you're going to get left behind. Yeah, I think that the New York breweries, the New England breweries, the West Coast breweries especially are really doing some great things and pushing the limits and making some, you know, world-class beers for sure.
So what's trendy right now? What do people want? What do the people want when they come to their local brewery? What are they looking for?
Well, the most obvious one is hazy New England-style IPAs, which we wish they called New York-style IPAs.
NYPA.
Yeah, that's right. So a 6%, very cloudy, hoppy, but not overly bitter beer. That's definitely the hottest beer style in the craft beer world right now. And as we're coming into summertime, I think you're going to see a lot more sour beers appear on the market, both flavored and unflavored sour beers, as a nice alternative that's a little lower in alcohol, but has some flavor. It doesn't have the, a lot of times the 4% beers have no taste whatsoever. Sour beers offer a lower alcohol percentage, but actually have some flavor to go along with them. So I think those are the top two, I would say, right now.
I have a technical question about that, but I'll hold it for a second. When it comes to the sours, when you all were at the Desmond for the big beer festival, the sour beers seemed to be, everybody was having sour beer. That seemed to be the big thing that people were talking about.
Yeah, there were a lot of sour beers that were there. And it's a nice little approach for brewers to experiment more and to play around with some of those different ingredients and flavors. And I think we brought a sour here with today too, just because it's gives you a little more room of flexibility and creativity.
All right. Well, that seems like a perfect entree to why don't you pour one of those?
That's called a segue.
Yes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is my technical question, Chris. And someone along the line, I was getting a sour put into a growler, and they said, have a designated growler for your sour. Is that true?
Well, I think that when you make sour beers, especially if you make traditional sour beers that have lactobacillus and Brettanomyces and some of the other
lactobacillus.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Some of those can easily be transferred from one beer to another, and especially with a growler, which you might just rinse out the day after you empty it, or that lacto or the PDO
or a week later,
which realistically after it's been in the trunk, some of those things can really turn the next beer that goes in there. So I
if it didn't crawl out of the trunk itself.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think that, anytime you have organisms that are designed to make beer sour, it's nice to keep them away from the beers that shouldn't be sour. As a matter of fact, at Big Slide, we have a separate room that we call the Funk Room, where we ferment all of our beers that have non-traditional beer yeast in it. You want to keep them separate as much as you can.
All right, what are we drinking?
This here is called Practically Magic. It's a coconut lime sour.
Oh, man. Now, okay, I haven't tried this yet, but that just sounds great. Coconut and lime.
That's one of those things you can have. Be more creative with some of the sours and think about things that you would envision drinking. And that was one of the first things we thought of with this.
That you would envision drinking?
Yeah, like I think of like what flavors go well together outside just in the culinary approach of it as well.
Mm. Oh, that, okay.
Bringing those in and put that into a beer, and the sour gives you a little more flexibility with that.
Because I immediately think suntan lotion. But this would be different. You're right.
But also, Kevin, you're kind of known for your coconut
use of
cream,
coconut.
So
that toasted, is it toasted?
Toasted coconut. Yep.
Oh man, that's good. Oh, this is great.
Thank you.
Wow. Now you can taste the lime.
Yep.
And that, which is good because it's in there. How do you not over coconut it?
That's something I've just worked with a lot of times on how much coconut to put into different fermenters for us.
And it's real coconut. It's not.
It's
like
real
an extracted
coconut.
Or
yep.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I take it down and toast it at Lake Placid. Or at a Placid bakery in Troy, and toast it there, and then go walk right over and put it in the fermenter.
That is really, really good.
Thank you.
Now, Chris probably answered this, and I was sort of paying attention. But what is the the thing that makes it sour?
So bacteria.
The bacteria.
Yep.
Absolutely. So you add that.
Yeah, we actually add it. We keep it. We've got about 9 different strains of bacteria and yeast, and this is a mixed fermentation, so we actually do the bacteria in it for about 5 days and then come back and ferment it out with regular yeast.
Now, what is the alcohol content on this?
This is 6%.
Now, that's relatively high
yep,
for a sour.
For a sour, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I still feel like I could drink this until like 8 tonight.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
And maybe I'll do that, actually.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
It is a patio pounder. Yeah.
So, John, what do you make of all this, of what's going on?
Well, we don't have quite as much capacity, although we're about the same size as your brewery. But we're somewhat handcuffed because we have students, those pesky students, who we have to give lab time to. So Hutch does a number of experimental beers.
Your head brewer.
Our head brewer, Hutch Kugelman. And they invariably come out great. If they looks like it's not going to, we dump it, so there will be no evidence. In fact, one of the beers that I brought is one of the experimental beers he made as a collaboration with Eric Brown, who is a former student of mine, who now is in charge of the barrel program at Brooklyn Brewery. And Eric is an interesting young man. He is in charge of 2,500 barrels that they're aging beer in down in Brooklyn. Oh, and one minor point. When you said that we're the Brooklyn Brewery at the Culinary, that's actually against the law to say, because we're the brewery at the CIA, and we can't use Brooklyn's name in our title because they gave us money, and that's called being a tied house.
Okay, now, interesting fact, do you know how I got that?
I don't.
I got that from Brooklyn's website. Is that so that... Because I clicked on your name, and then it brought me to that page from the Brooklyn Brewery, and that's what the heading was.
They probably just...
I'm not passing the buck. I'm just saying
no.
You may want to look into this.
I think they they're not as interested in getting their name off of our sign as the New York State government is.
Okay, gotcha. Understood.
I still have the T-shirt with the old illegal name on it. And a baseball hat. But it's not like the police are standing outside waiting to take me off in handcuffs because of this. So At least I don't think they are.
Okay, so but the proper, so we have it right. The proper designation is
the brewery at the CIA.
The brewery at the CIA, and it has the Brooklyn logo on it.
Kind of. We use their B, but it also has our CIA.
Very suspiciously looking like the Brooklyn B.
That's right.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway, Hutch made this beer with Eric, and it's called Operation Paw Paw. It was made with...
I love
saying it that way.
Suddenly we're so, Scott Farrell. Well,
actually, it was the subject line in their emails back and forth discussing the collaboration that was Operation Paw Paw. And it just stuck as the name. So it's made with about, I think it's about 50 pounds of paw paw puree, which is also fun to say.
Now, what is that?
Paw paw is a fruit that's grown on trees in the South, pawpaw trees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of mango-esque, but without the real funk that mangoes have. So what it ended up doing, because we tasted the puree when we were making it, and it didn't have any really specifically pawpaw-y flavor. It was just kind of sweet and generically fruity.
Now you're just doing it on purpose.
And, well, I was trying to figure out what adjectival phrase I should use. But anyway, it ended up making this just kind of fruity, generally fruity beer. We got some color from it. And it's, I think it's just fruity, delicious, and refreshing.
Well, refreshing would be exactly all of the things you just described, but certainly refreshing in a great summer beer.
Yeah, I think it, and almost if you had to describe it to someone, it'd almost be like someone put some, remember the old days of peach nectar?
Yeah.
And pear nectar, like when we were kids.
Yeah.
It would be in a can. And it has a little bit of that kind of peach nectar kind of flavor.
It's very good.
And
very,
just enough good. Just enough hops bitterness to keep it from being cloying.
Yes. All right. Now, what else can we talk about, Chris, from your shops?
Well, I brought Ubu Ale, which is...
I love Ubu Ale.
Oh, there you go.
It is one of my favorites.
Thanks.
Ubu is... this is a great... This has been around a long time, hasn't it?
It has. We started brewing it in 1996. 23 years we've been in business and brewing Ubu Ale. The first time that we brewed it, when it came on tap, we called it the famous Ubu Ale. And, of course, it wasn't famous yet, but that's, yeah, it took a little poetic license.
But if you tell people it'll be famous, it becomes
that's
famous.
Right, that's right. So it's an
Heard
English
those sheep.
That's right. It's an English-style strong ale. When we started brewing it at the pub in 1996, 7% was alcohol was like rocket fuel compared to most of the beers that were out there. So now 7% is certainly, I would say, maybe in the middle alcohol-wise of what most beers are. But yeah, we're one of the few breweries that actually have a dark ale as our flagship beer. So yeah, that's Ubu.
And when you use the term strong ale, it gives the connotation that it is strong.
It is. I mean,
but it isn't really. I mean, I wouldn't say it's light, but it's certainly very drinkable.
I appreciate that. I think that it's balanced, and people, more malt forward than a lot of the beers that are out there right now. It's got kind of a dark fruit flavor, but it actually has a decent amount of hops, which kind of round out the taste and make it. Very, very drinkable. I think it's enjoyable, and I think that if people did not see the color, they'd be surprised at how dark it actually is. Ubu's been our workhorse for 23 years.
I think you'll take this as a compliment, but when we were at the Brewfest a couple of months ago, we were walking around and we had just a horrible beer. It was a disgusting, horrible beer, and it made us like our toes curl. And we just looked at each other and said, "Let's go get Ubu." So we can salvage today.
Oh, well, that's an enormous compliment. Thank you very much. We do face.
Well,
that
that's an endorsement.
Well, it's just like, this is what beer should taste like. This is really good.
Well, thank you very much.
Actually, one interesting thing is that, as you said, it's an English ale, and you could pinpoint this probably better than I could, but the craft beer scene in the States, when I first started bartending in the mid-'80s, British beer is what was at craft bars, and now British beer is not very popular at all in the States, but except for Ubu, the famous Ubu.
Yes, the famous Ubu. Now, we have about a minute and a half. What else? Is there anything else we would like to try here?
I've got an Altgeist, which is a German-style alt beer.
All right. I have to finish off my pawpaw first.
And then you
just wanted to say it.
You're absolutely right. And then what do you have? Do you have another one?
I have a Berliner Weiss as well, which is kind of the base beer that Kevin's coconut beer started as. And that's kind of the base beer, base sour beer, Berliner Weiss. It's a German wheat beer, and that's what most sour beers that have fruit or other flavors in have a Berliner Weiss backbone. It's a Berliner Weiss that then other fruits and stuff are added to.
Man, that's good. Okay. All right. Now,
so
Altgeist.
Alt means old.
Yep. And Geist means soul. So it's a German style, kind of a Dusseldorf style alt. So it has a little bit of bready, nutty characteristic to it. Crisp finish. It's a really easy drinker. It's what we like to drink a lot around the brewery between this and our lager.
Does bread mean yeasty?
Yes. Like a bready kind of characteristic of it.
Yeah.
Yep. And a little slight nuttiness, a little bit of sweetness, but not overly sweet. It's not cloying at all. And then a crisp finish on it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Man, that's good.
It'd be a great food beer.
Yeah. Now, what makes a good food, in the minute we have left, what makes a good food beer?
Well, one of the things that we love drinking with food is something, one of the least popular styles, which is brown ale. And it's not glamorous at all, but it's just balanced. And it has a little more flavor than, say, a light lager. And just body. Body is weight, and food has weight, whether it's fat or protein. And you want a little body in the beer, some balance, enough hops to counteract the richness of the food. And you also don't want the beer to take away attention from the food. You want it to accompany it.
Well, the New York State Brewers Association is doing just an amazing job, and they're in town and they're getting work done. Meanwhile, there's these wonderful breweries across the state, so that make up the New York State Brewers Association.
And get the app for your phone too.
Yes, get the app for your phone. The app is very cool. Chris Erickson is of Lake Placid Pub and Brewery and Big Slide Brewery, president of the New York State Brewers Association. John Fisher is from the brewery at the CIA, wink, wink. And Kevin Mullen is of Rare Form Brewing. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.